Hello, amazing folks. Welcome to another interesting episode of the podcast show, Trivia Talks. I'm your host, Tarun Mundra. And in this episode, we are going to talk about a very interesting topic, which is yoga. To discuss about this topic, we have with us a very famous personality, Ms. Saini Narang. Saini is an entrepreneur. She is a famous performing artist. You must have seen her in various TV commercials. And she is also a certified yoga instructor. In today's episode, Saini will be discussing about yoga in a very simplified manner. She will explain different limbs of yoga in a very detailed and very simple manner. And apart from that, we will also discuss about Vipassana meditation, how it helps and how it changes your personality. The entire conversation is going to be very important for you if you are looking or if you are planning to go for yoga, but finding it very hard to do. So without any further ado, let's dive into this amazing discussion with Saini Narang. Let's go. Well, hi Saini, welcome to Trivia Talks. It's an honor having you on the podcast. Thank you so much for taking out time for this podcast and joining us.
Actually, thank you for connecting with me and considering me actually.
Wow, that's glad to hear. So talking about a very interesting topic today, which is yoga, and I will be very, you know, a newbie kind of person, and main bahut hi ek natural sa bol sakte ho, aap bacche ke jaise aapse baat karunga regarding yoga, because I would like to learn a lot of thing from you. So start karte hain bahut hi basic question se, which is what is exactly yoga from, like, according to you, aur usko agar simplified way mein kisi ko samjhana ho to what is yoga?
So ये question बहुत relevant है, I must say, because yoga people think is all about poses and flexibility and बहुत सारे आसन होते हैं जिसमें हम देख रहे हैं कि Instagram is full, everywhere we're talking about yoga. It has almost become a fashion and this is what people see. और मुझे ऐसा लगता है कि ये कुछ गलत नहीं है. दिस सी वॉट एवर दिस सी इज राइट, बट दैट्स जस्ट वन पार्ट ऑफ योगा. योगा एक्चुअली एक बहुत ही ज़्यादा डीप, एक आई वुड से अ साइंस है, एक आर्ट है, एक खुद में एक फील्ड है, एक लाइफस्टाइल है, जिसको अगर आप पढ़ेंगे या समझेंगे तो आप रियलाइज करेंगे कि उसका एक्सरसाइज और आसन जो है वो एक छोटा सा पार्ट है. योगा एक्चुअली मीन्स यूनियन, योग करना, जोड़ना, वेयर यू एक्चुअली आर जॉइनिंग योर सेल्फ, योर इनर सेल्फ विद द सुप्रीम. तो आप अपने आप को किसी दिव्य शक्ति या बड़ी शक्ति के साथ, सुप्रीम कॉन्शियसनेस के साथ जब जोड़ते हो तो उस प्रोसेस को योग कहते हैं. और उसको करने के लिए पतंजलि जो है, महर्षि पतंजलि जिन्होंने ये सारी चीज़ें लिखी हैं, जो हमें एटलीस्ट पता है बुक्स में, उन्होंने कहा है कि उसके लिए आपके पास 8 स्टेप्स हैं, आपको वो फॉलो करने होते हैं, सिर्फ आसन नहीं कहें. तो वो 8 स्टेप्स हैं: यम, नियम, आसन, प्राणायाम, प्रत्याहार, धारणा, ध्यान और समाधि. ये सारे 8 स्टेप्स जब हम फॉलो करते हैं तो हम इस योग के प्रोसेस को स्टार्ट टू एंड पूरी तरीके से एक्सपीरियंस करते हैं, और तब जाके हमें इसका एक्चुअल जो फ़ायदा है वो मिलता है. अब ये जो आसन आपने बीच में सुना वो 3rd पार्ट है और 1 पार्ट है आउट ऑफ द 8. सो पॉपुलरली नोन एज योगा, लेकिन अगर मुझसे कोई पूछे कि योगा का मतलब क्या है या योगा क्या है, तो मैं बोलूँगी कि एक पूरी लाइफ स्टाइल है जिसमें आपका एक ऑब्जेक्टिव डिफाइंड है. आपका ऑब्जेक्टिव है कि आप अपने आप को ढूंढ रहे हो, सर्च कर रहे हो. इट्स अबाउट अ जर्नी अबाउट सेल्फ एंड ऑल्सो फिगरिंग आउट कि ये सेल्फ जो है इट्स पार्ट ऑफ द सुप्रीम. सो व्हेन यू एक्सपीरियंस दैट एंड व्हेन यू रीच दैट पॉइंट, व्हेन यू एक्चुअली फाइंड द ट्रेट्स ऑफ द सुप्रीम विद इन यू, व्हेन यू ट्राई टू एक्सपीरियंस दैट सुप्रीम विद इन यू, देन आई वुड से यू हैव understood, or probably then you're getting closer to understand what exactly yoga is.
Oh, wow. And you mentioned about 8 keywords which are very important. It'd be great if you can explain those 8 terms for our audience so that they can get a bit of context regarding those terms.
Okay, so there are 8 limbs of yoga.
And like I mentioned, it ranges from yam to samadhi. Let me just take a little time to throw light on each of them. So this is yama, niyama, or yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, pratyahar, dharana, dhyan, and samadhi. So things that you do which are in your control are basically from yam to dharana. Dhyan and samadhi is something that happens to you naturally. So coming to the first thing, that's yama, there are five yamas. In simple words, we also call them moral conducts or restraints. First is ahimsa, you're not harming anybody. Then is satya, you're not lying. Then asteya, you're not stealing in that. Brahmacharya, which is a social, morally, socially acceptable sexual conduct. And aparigraha, which is non-hoarding of the products, or in other words, minimalism. These are the five restraints or yamas that one should be following. Then there are five niyamas, niyam, observances that you need to follow. The first is shauch, which is cleanliness. You're supposed to keep yourself and your surroundings clean, not just physically, but also your intentions. Then is santosh, contentment, which is about being happy with what you got and having a gratitude for things that you've received. Then tap, which is the zeal to practice and live a disciplined life. Then swadhyaya. Swadhyaya is the fourth niyam, which means to study, self-study, to reflect on your own actions and understand your own behavior. Then comes Ishwar paridhan, which is to surrender to the God's will. So these are five niyamas. When you follow these, then we say that you're prepared, or you have, it's basically taking a kind of a vow, and then you decide that I'm ready to go into the practice of asana, where we start practicing the poses, which we all know. It's very famous. So you're working with the body, you're preparing the body to go to the next level. And the more stronger your body is, physically you are, the easier it becomes for you to go to the other parts of, and to travel to the other parts and go towards pratyahar, dharana, dhyan, samadhi, the next parts of yoga. So that's the reason we practice asana so many times and so much, because we want our bodies to take what's coming next. After asana, you practice pranayam, which is breath work, breathing exercises, or control of breath. Pranayama is basically a bridge between mind and body. So whenever you're doing breathing exercises, you're putting the two together and aligning your body with your mind. So there's no disconnect between the two. And it's one of the most important parts of yoga, which unfortunately many people tend to neglect, but it's actually miraculous. Once you practice pranayama regularly, you're able to get into a state of pratyahar. Pratyahar means withdrawal of the senses, and you actually cut out everything that's not serving your purpose or not helping you align yourself with your inner being. You tend to withdraw your attention from the outer and redirect it towards the inner. After you do this, you go into a state of dharana, which is intense focus. Sometimes this happens naturally also, because you're trying to sit in meditation and attain that focus. Sometimes you have to try for it. Once you are in a dharana, in a state of intense focus, you naturally go into a state of dhyana, which is again a state of meditation where your entire being is aligned. All your energy centers are aligned and you have a pinpoint focus. This happens again with lot of surrendering, lot of gratitude, lot of blessings, and without any effort. All you can do is just sit in meditation and practice and have the focus, trying to withdraw from anything that's not serving you, and you naturally move towards dhyana. Once you reach the state of dhyana, what happens last is samadhi, where you actually merge with the one, the supreme. And this is something what people say is the point where you attain enlightenment. And that is the whole process or whole purpose of practicing yoga. So from yam to samadhi, if you actually doing these restraints, observing everything that you're supposed to, practicing the yoga poses, doing breathing exercises, and then meditating regularly, then we would say that you're actually practicing yoga holistically.
That's interesting because, you know, when we talk about yoga, most of them think that, you know, it is more of a physical practice. And the way you explained, like 8 terms were there. And mostly everything, like if I talk about asana and pranayam, in pranayam you require some sort of physical practice, and but most of the like most of the keywords are more into, you know, mental peace. So wahan pe dhyan lagana, like it's yam niyam ya pratihar mein you are focusing on something, dharana mein bhi you are focusing on a certain point. So it is more of a, you know, a mental kind of exercise rather than the physical one. So it's a very interesting term when we talk about yoga, and people are more into, you know, they think that it is a physical exercise, not more than of, you know, mental exercise.
I would not really say it's a mental exercise because after pranayam, jab aap meditation mein baithte ho, to aap automatically pratyahar, dharana, dhyan mein ja rahe ho. Samadhi happens. It's something that happens, you know, on its own. You're not doing that. Like in meditation, once you're meditating, you're trying to disconnect from everything that is not serving your purpose. Then automatically you tend to converge your thoughts and have a pinpoint focus. So this whole process, the second part of pratyahara, dharana, dhyana and samadhi, is basically happening on its own. And you're not really doing much, provided you have to sit and meditate consistently and aim for that. The problem is people teach poses, but they also teach pranayam, but they kind of not pay too much attention to meditation, which is actually the core of yoga.
That's very true. And, you know, like many people also fall for several myths regarding yoga and its practical implementation. Like many kind of myths are over there, and which automatically make yoga more difficult thing for them, and it becomes a very big deal. So before we talk about it, we would like to know from your side, like what were your challenges when you started yoga, and what kind of myth you also faced, and after that you tried to, you know, apne usko साइड किया, एंड यू ऑल्सो एक्सपोज टू द सोसाइटी कि नहीं ये मिथ्स है, इसको अलग तरीके से देखिए, योगा इज टोटली डिफरेंट.
सबसे बड़ा मिथ जो योगा के बारे में है वो ये है कि देयर मेनी द वन ऑफ द मोस्ट कॉमन मिथ इज कि इट्स मेंट फॉर पीपल हु आर फ्लेक्सिबल एंड इट इज वेरी स्टूपिड टू थिंक लाइक दैट बिकॉज इट्स लाइक सेइंग कि अगर मैं फिट हूँ, ठीक है, और अगर मैं ऑलरेडी इन शेप में हूँ तो मुझे फिर जिम जाने की ज़रूरत क्या है, है ना? तो अगर मैं ऑलरेडी फ्लेक्सिबल हूँ तो मुझे योगा करने की क्या ज़रूरत है? इट्स ऑन इन अदर वेज आई वुड से कि अगर आप फ्लेक्सिबल नहीं हो तभी तो आपको योगा की ज़रूरत है, बिकॉज विल योगा विल मेक यू फ्लेक्सिबल. इफ़ यू ऑलरेडी फ्लेक्सिबल तो मतलब वॉट इज़ इट दैट यू आर लुकिंग एट? It's a huge debate and people keep thinking कि हम flexible नहीं है तो हम yoga तो कर ही नहीं सकते, but ऐसा नहीं है, yoga कोई भी कर सकता है और हर एक body
की. It's like fat person is saying that I will not go to gym because वो सिर्फ fit लोगों के लिए.
This is what I wanted to say. This is actually what I wanted to say. Exactly what I wanted to say. कि अगर आप मोटे हो तभी आपको जिम जाने की ज़रूरत है ना, तो अगर आप flexible नहीं हो तभी आपको yoga करने की ज़रूरत है. So you are welcome, all are welcome, and yoga is not about all flexibility. That's the biggest myth. Another myth that people have is it's for women. Men don't practice yoga. Men do gymming and women do yoga. Aisa nahi hai. There are some, in fact, the best of teachers that I have learned, and the ones who are teaching in the various yoga schools, and even the gurus that you would have heard of, they're male and they all practice yoga. So it has nothing to do with gender. Another myth is that yoga is an exercise, and which I just mentioned previously that it's not, and it's a lifestyle which helps you attain union. So a lot of people do practice yoga to get rid of the extra fat or weight, or you know, get rid of the problems. Of course, yoga will help you get rid of your problems, but those are just side effects of yoga. It will happen very, very naturally and organically. The actual effects of yoga are far and beyond physical benefits. Another myth about yoga that I also had was it's for somebody who is very calm and relaxed, and you know, jiske paas bahut patience hai, sirf wohi yoga practice kar sakta hai. It's the biggest myth, one of the biggest myths, and it's not true. Yoga practice can be taken up by anyone, and different personality types ke liye alag alag tarah ka yoga bhi hai. If you are somebody who doesn't want to move too much, wants to relax and let go, yin yoga or iyengar could be your form. If you're somebody who likes rigorous workout and want to sweat and build muscles and like movement, probably ashtanga and vinyasa is your form. If you're somewhere in the middle, probably hatha is your form. So there are so many forms of yoga, and that serves different purposes and different, you know, they are designed for separate kind of personalities, that you can choose any. You don't necessarily have to have a calm and relaxed and you know, letting go personality to practice yoga. Another myth that we have about yoga is that it doesn't build muscles. It will not give you strength. It is about mental peace, or it is about flexibility, which I've already talked about. But that's also not true. I don't do gymming or weightlifting that often. And whatever muscles and strength I've built and muscles I've got, it's only and only come from yoga. So if you do a lot of arm balances and body balances and any sort of holds of any pose, you will build strength and muscles and lot of endurance also with yoga. So ye kuch common myths hai jo main logon se bar bar kehti hu ki aap ek bar practice karke to dekhiye, 2-3 mahine regularly karke to dekhiye, aapke myths khud ba khud chale jayenge. And what was the second question you asked apart from this?
What were the challenges you faced while starting as a yoga person? Like, these are the myths, and how did you face it, and how did you clarify about, you know, each and every step when we are proceeding ahead?
Oh, yes. So when I started practicing yoga, I was in an organization. I was working as a market researcher, and my office HR had given us an option to come early before the office hours to practice yoga within the office premise, which was a great initiative. I was very reluctant, or mera sirf ek hi intention tha us time ki mujhe kuch extra weight lose karna tha, because I was just sitting on the desk for the entire day and working, and I was putting on a lot of weight. But fortunately, I was very, very lucky, because the teacher that I've caught, his name is Shambhuji Maharaj. He's an excellent teacher, and within 3 or 4 sessions, he bursted all the myths that I have mentioned just right now, immediately. And his expectation from us were pretty high. And he also saw a potential in all of us when we were practicing with him. So unhone humko yoga ka jo actual, I would say jo actual meaning hai wo bhi bataya. और जो रिग्रस स्ट्रेनियस एक्सरसाइज या जो भी कह लो, जो ये पूरा लाइफ स्टाइल है, व्हाट इट डिमांड्स, उन्होंने हमें वो पूरा दिखा दिया. सो इट वाजंट दैट इजी एंड सिंपल एज आई थॉट इट वुड बी. दैट डे आई रियलाइज के कितना ज़्यादा हम लोगों के हमारे दिमाग में कितनी सारी चीज़ें हैं योगा को लेके, जो हमें लगता है कि हमने किसी पोस्टर पर देखा somebody's sitting in meditation pose or with the hands in namaskar mudra, and we think yoga is that. And when he made us do a warm up, within 10 seconds we were panting. It is that demanding. And all my myths, all my thoughts about yoga being a peaceful practice, which it is, had gone out of the window because it's very, very demanding. It's emotionally, mentally, physically demanding, which will lead to peace by default, which will lead to calmness by default. And that happens very, very organically. So my initial challenge was that when I started, I think I was about 25, 24, 25 years of age. And at that time, nobody would be interested to do yoga at that age. They were not looking for mental peace. I only wanted to shed some weight, but it turned out to be my lifestyle eventually. So in a way, I'm very blessed that I came across that opportunity and the right kind of teacher who guided us well and who really, really inspired me to look beyond what people think yoga is.
Oh, that's very well explained. And how much time you require to get used to it? Like, kitna time laga aapko ki you become a yoga person ki nahi mujhe yoga to karni hai. Kuch bhi ho jaye, I will spare some time and I will do yoga.
Within 3 sessions, I was up for it. Matlab, within 2 to 3 sessions, by third session, I was like, this is something I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And I continued practicing as a student for a decade before I decided to actually start teaching. So,
wow.
Very, very long journey. Pehle maine nahi socha tha ki main yoga teacher banungi. It was never my plan. But when I saw the benefits, when I saw how it was helping me become a better person, then it came to a point and I was like, if I am such a relaxed person at this point in time in life, only with the yoga practice, why don't I share it further and spread this across? So I took that decision of becoming a yoga teacher after a very, very long time. And it just happened.
That's interesting. And I would like to highlight on a very interesting technique of meditation, which is Vipassana. And I think you must have also, you know, heard about it, which is a meditation technique. A few organizations are running this and one of my friend went over there and it is a 14 days, you can say, quarantine thing. What they do exactly is they will take all your belongings, including phone, wallet and everything, you have to leave there. And you will be isolated for 14 straight days. They will tell you to wake up at 4 and your sleeping time is 6. During that particular phase of 14 days, you are not allowed to speak anything, not a single word. You have to do meditation all, like, the entire day. You have to do meditation for more than, you know, 7 to 8 hours. And you have to eat your food and you have to go to bed. In that particular point of, you're not allowed to touch anyone. You're not allowed to get to the direct physical, in physical terms, to other genders also. And that is the exercise which is going on. And like post-COVID, I think it is not continuing. They are not continuing right now. But yeah, this is the exercise which was there. And my friend took admission in it. So I wanted to understand from you, like, if these exercises are running, what are the advantage which people are getting after 14 days? Are we getting more, you know, clear about our lifestyle and our passion? Or does meditation play a very important role if we do it consistently for 14 days? Just like this.
Okay, I'll be honest. I did Vipassana in 2015.
Oh, wow.
And then I did Vipassana. I repeated the course in 2018 again.
Mm-hmm.
So both the times, my duration was 10 days. So I'm not sure if they have increased it. But I experienced Vipassana. Like you mentioned, we are supposed to stay in silence for 10 days and there's no contact, nothing. And initially, for somebody who has never practiced meditation, it will come as a huge shock or a huge change. Because it's like saying, you know, I've never done cooking before, but now you've asked to prepare a 7-course meal for 100 people. You know, how will you do that? So it's almost impossible. So I would say somebody who's aiming for Vipassana or planning to do such a silence retreat, you should inculcate the habit of practicing meditation on a regular basis at least on daily basis for 15, 20 minutes or half an hour or an hour, and also should practice silence for every day for about an hour or so, or maybe more than that, because then it will not come as a shock for your body and mind. Having said that, there are many people who can still directly jump into it and it's perfectly fine. So it's to each its own. What I gained out of Vipassana, I can share about that. So as soon as I was out of my Vipassana course after 10 days,
I'm interrupting you a bit. I just wanted to, give our audience a bit of context regarding Vipassana. Maybe like I have heard from someone, so I didn't share the entire like clarity thing. So it would be great if you can share your like day-to-day schedule of, Vipassana. So okay. If someone would like to do at home during this quarantine time, so it would be great. And after that, yeah, we will definitely go ahead with your, learning from Vipassana.
Okay, sure. So I'm not sure how you will be able to do Vipassana at home if you're living with your friends or family or somebody, because it's a very difficult thing to do if you have to maintain that 10-day silence or 14-day silence. So let me just introduce people to what the routine is. You have to get up 4 in the morning, and 4:30 your first session starts. So you assemble in a common meditation hall. 4:30 to 6:30 you have your 1 and 2 hours of a meditation practice. You're just supposed to sit there and meditate. 6:30 you have your breakfast. By 7 you're done. 7 to 8 is a 1 hour break. 8 o'clock again you are back into the meditation hall till 12 o'clock. 8 to 12 you are in the hall, and 12 o'clock you have a lunch break, and then I think you again have a little bit of break in the middle. Then 2 o'clock you're back into the hall, or maybe 1:30, I'm not so sure of the exact time. Again, 5 o'clock, you get a last break for the day, which is a tea/fruit break. There's no dinner. And once you finish that, 6 o'clock, you're back in the hall. You meditate for an hour or so, an hour and a half. And then you have a little discourse in the evening. And the day wraps up by 8:30. And by 9, you are sleeping, because you have to get up in the 4 again next morning. So this is a routine you have to follow. The kind of food you are supposed to consume during Vipassana is pure vegetarian meals. And I think they prepare it with a lot of love and a lot of devotion. So the vibes that you get after eating the kind of food they prepare, it's amazing. It really helps you meditate better. Also, the fact that if you want to do this at your own place, it will be a little difficult for you to switch off your gadgets. Probably somebody will ring the door or doorbell or something, or your parents or your spouse or somebody is going to talk to you. So you have to let them know that you are in this silence.
That's true, yeah.
So it's kind of challenging, but still doable if you are a strong head and if you, made your arrangements to do so.
But, so complete silent for 10 to 14 days, right? Like you cannot speak a single word.
You cannot speak a single word. The only time you can speak is if you have a doubt and you wanted to speak to your teacher to clear a doubt. So give you an option, because, sometimes if you're practicing and you get stuck somewhere in your practice, then you have that option to discuss that how to go forward. And there are times that people also find some very traumatic experiences coming up on the surface and they don't know how to deal with them. So they need to speak to somebody who can help them out. But otherwise, you're not supposed to speak at all.
And you are not allowed to make any kind of phone calls or anything like to your near and dear ones.
You have to cut off from the world. So no diary, no reading, no writing, no phone calls, no television, no interaction, no books. You are not even talking, you're not even looking at someone's eye, in someone's eye, you're not looking at other people's actions or the behavior. Everything is off and you're only spending time with yourself. And that's the whole purpose of Vipassana, because they're trying to redirect you inwards.
Wow. So moving towards your learning, so after spending 10 days, what was your mental state and what was your mental state during, you know, Vipassana time? Because you have practiced meditation earlier. So how you were getting used to it and how you were enjoying it?
So for me, honestly speaking, it wasn't that difficult because I had some previous practice. So, and I was not even, I would say, there was no change for me. For me, it was like one of the most beautiful experiences of my life. And I also, like all other practitioners, did go through the ups and downs of meditation while what happens, because while you're meditating, a lot of things that are suppressed and are pushed down in your system deep inside you, they tend to come up on the surface and you experience them very, very vividly, very strongly. And you cannot ignore it because it's part of you. In all these years when we are engaging ourselves in a lot of external stimuli, we tend to suppress or ignore or not address the core issues that we have. But Vipassana or any other form of meditation will not let that happen. It will naturally come out and you have to deal with it. So all practitioners go through these phases of happiness, extreme happiness, and, you know, cry a lot, or they're frustrated, or they have guilt, or they have sorrow, or they have the feeling of extreme joy. And they all are this, all of this is very, very natural. It happens organically. You experience it, it comes, you see it, and it passes, it goes. So they tell you to not have craving for the good or have aversion towards the bad. So you see each and every thought with the same single frame of mind and see it, acknowledge it, and let it pass. So that's the whole point of meditation, of not judging your thoughts, not judging the kind of experiences you are going through, and just allowing them to eventually pass. When you do so, you become a person who is more balanced, and you become a person who is non-judgmental. You tend to become a person who starts to respond and not react. And there's a huge difference between the two. And you become a person who is a better decision maker also, because you start to reflect on your own actions and behavior rather than thinking what's wrong in the world, what's not going well in the politics or economy or whatever. Everything, all these things, thoughts really, really go away, and you redirect your every single point or information inwards. So the biggest change that happened with me was that I became a person who was not thinking about pleasing people anymore or being in the good books of people anymore. And I was only figuring out what is it that I need to fix in me. And that became my starting point of my journey to self-discovery. Somehow there were physical changes as well. I left sugar completely after Vipassana. I did not feel like eating sugar. I did not even feel like eating packaged food. I completely left all of that.
Like how? Like, do they provide sugar-free food over there, or like?
No, they don't give you all that. I'm saying once I came out of Vipassana, mm-hmm. after the 10-day mm-hmm. course, I did not feel like eating sugar. I did not feel like eating packaged food. I stopped eating biscuits and all the packaged stuff that we used to get in the market. I have already told you, they only provide basic Indian home-cooked meals.
Right. Okay. So that came instantly, right? Like, so you like went for sugar-free foods and all by your own choice.
Yeah. These are the outcomes. It was not even my choice. It just naturally happened. My body started rejecting a lot of stuff, I would say. Mm-hmm. My body was, I did not even feel like picking up a pack of biscuits from the market. I just wanted to eat natural fruits and, you know, have clean food, and it just, my body just did not want it. And I did not make any effort for it. It happened organically. And I stopped using plastic to a huge degree. I don't know why. I just completely stopped buying plastic bottles and I did not pick up straws to drink whatever I was drinking earlier. And I started conserving water. I started conserving electricity. And I was doing this very, very unconsciously and very organically. And it also came to a point that it used to upset me when I would see someone wasting resources. It really used to bother me and I could not figure out what happened. I just could not figure out why I became this person. But then I reflected and saw that, you know, this happens. This happens to a lot of people who practice meditation regularly. They tend to become more sensitive and aware of the surroundings and the environment. They care for not only other beings, but for the planet at large, and they care for every single thing. So Vipassana will, or any sort of meditation exercise, will actually turn you into that person. It's, again, it's not something you should expect and then enter into it. If it happens to you, great. If it doesn't happen to you, understand that probably it's not the time for you and probably you have more work to do, but it eventually will, because that's what I have seen a commonality in terms of the experience that everyone has experienced in the past. And same thing happened with me too, and I was pretty surprised. And again, when I repeated my experience in 2018, I became even more sensitive towards a lot of other things. And then I definitely, definitely wanted to share more of this. That's where I decided to get into my own app and design my own app and share yoga to as many people as I can. So that's after my second experience of Vipassana. I was pretty sure that this is something that should reach more and more and more, as many people as possible. So these were the changes and learnings that I experienced.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And yeah, we are definitely going to talk about your yogic app and how it is helping the society. But before that, for a person who is totally newbie for meditation, I would like to ask you, according to your experience, like, how is meditation when you are trying it for the first time, and how should we proceed ahead to, you know, get used to it and it becomes part of our habit? Because sitting at one place and thinking about nothing is very difficult for someone who is, you know, never practiced meditation. So how did you took approach towards it and how it accelerated after that?
So you necessarily don't have to, it's a myth ki aapko kuch nahi sochna hai. You don't have to think about anything. So what first thing you have to do is just get into a practice of physically making yourself committing to the practice of meditation. तो अगर आप रोज सुबह उठने के बाद, लाइक आफ्टर यू फ्रेश अप अ लिटिल एंड एवरी इवनिंग बिफोर यू गो टू स्लीप, इफ यू जस्ट सिट एट अ डेजिग्नेटेड प्लेस फॉर 10 to 15 minutes इन साइलेंस एंड डू हैव नो एक्सपेक्टेशन, इफ यू गेट इन टू दैट हैबिट ऑफ जस्ट कमिटिंग योर सेल्फ टू दैट 10 to 15 minutes इन द मॉर्निंग एंड इन द इवनिंग, यू कैन स्टार्ट मेडिटेटिंग. नाउ द क्वेश्चन इज के there will be millions of thoughts, बहुत सारे thoughts हैं जो आ रहे हैं जा रहे हैं. There will be no state when you have nothing. ऐसा possible नहीं होगा. And it may also feel that you're watching a movie because a lot of thoughts passing again and again and again. Sometimes it's on a loop. Sometimes you're repeating them. But all you have to do is just allow them to come and go. Not judge them. Not associate with them. Don't have craving for them, don't have aversion for them, and just let them pass. Let them pass. The more you let them pass, the more you will get more thoughts, different kinds of thoughts. And again, you let them pass as well. And initially you will be like, is this meditation? But that's the initial phase. You have to let go of this. The more you meditate, it'll come to a point that you have lesser number of thoughts, fewer thoughts. And then you can also see them passing. Instead of traveling with them, you will just see them passing and then new ones. And eventually, there'll be a space of nothingness, which comes after years and years of practice. For some people, it comes after a few weeks. For some people, it comes after a few months. You should never expect that. Don't try to reach that. The idea is to just dedicate yourself to the practice and see what comes for you. Because everyone has a different learning. Everyone has a different lesson to learn. And once you are meditating, you get all these lessons. And I don't know how your meditation experience is going to go, because I'm not aware what lessons you need to learn. But once you do this practice, everything, trust me, will happen organically in your favor. It will come to a point that whatever is happening with you is basically happening for your best, and you will be able to experience it and understand it once you meditate regularly.
Okay, so if someone's, learning is to be more calm and more focused, he should become a very active listener. So does meditation help after, you can say, a certain point of time, or we have to be very regular and the timing should be, constant for the entire sessions? So that will make us more focused and more, you can say, a calm person.
It depends on how your internal state is at the moment. For some people, even 5 minutes of meditation can bring them to in alignment and get them to work with focus and attention for the entire day. For some people, if it happens that you have to sit for at least an hour, and then only you get the kind of results you are expecting. So it's very difficult to say how much time it's gonna take for each person. बहुत बहुत सब्जेक्टिव है, बट हाँ, इफ यू रेगुलरली प्रैक्टिस, यू विल नेचुरली सी दीज बेनिफिट्स.
Okay, got it. So moving towards your initiative, which is YoYogic. So it would be great if you can share with our listeners, what exactly YoYogic is and how it is helping the youth of the country.
So YoYogic is an online digital platform where we provide sessions regarding with respect to body, mind, and soul healing. So it's an app which you can download from Android or iOS platform, and you can go through the available options that we have. If you're looking to heal yourself from a physical perspective, mental, emotional, and spiritual perspective, we have teachers available on the app. You can choose what your requirement is and book a session with the teacher. It's a live interaction, which means it's almost like doing a video call or a Skype call where you can see your teacher and speak to them digitally. And in this app, we have teachers who are experts in yoga asana, pranayama, meditation, Reiki teachers, NLP therapists, counseling psychologists. We basically have different modalities to offer, and you can choose the kind of teacher as per your requirement and take sessions with them. So this idea actually, like I mentioned, came from after my second Vipassana, and I was like, and also I was discussing and figuring out how to spread this knowledge to more and more people. So digital was the answer. A lot of people actually have no idea what is the crux of their issue, and they know the symptoms, but they don't know the root cause. So we try to focus a lot on the mind and soul healing in order to make them aware of the root cause and what is really causing them. What is really manifesting in the physical is basically coming from some deep underlying issue that they have. So with YoYogic, my intention has always been to let people see for themselves that body is only the outer layer, and it is important, but it is not the whole thing. You really need to go deeper in other layers to understand what needs to be addressed And if you really want to be healthy holistically, you should be working on your mind. You should be working on areas that probably we all, including me, tend to neglect or suppress. So I talk a lot on my platform about the importance of mental health and emotional health. And that's where I want to take you yogic. And I hope more and more people utilize this option and can actually learn what and how to fix what they're facing.
That's a wonderful initiative. And guys, I'm adding the link in the description. You should definitely go up and check this application so you can learn more about yoga and meditation from Saini. And we will definitely try to become more calm and focused person like Saini. Yeah.
I would like to add one thing. You know, a lot of people think that practicing yoga or meditation will make you calm and focused. Yes, it does. But it does not mean that you will never get angry, or you will never have mood swings, or you will never have ups and downs in life. Of course, it really, really, really helps you face such situations. But let me just clarify this thing that it's not like you turn into a saint when you are practicing all these things. You understand how to manage these better. You
exactly.
You tend to take lesser time to come out of these things. If I was like in my previous lifetime, I would say, which I'm saying almost two decades ago, I was somebody who was very, very, very restless as a person and very short-tempered as well. But it never occurred to me that I'm wasting so much of my time and energy if I continue to be in that state. Only with practice of yoga and meditation and vipassana and pranayama, I understood that, you know, my energy is very precious and I can't let it be in a negative zone. And so therefore, even if I'm encountered with a situation that's a very tricky one, I don't spend too much time there. I quickly understand that it is depleting me and I change my zone. So that awareness and that shift happens better with people who practice it. Otherwise, we see, like, you know, people get into a state of depression and anxiety becomes a permanent state of their life and they don't know how to deal with things that are happening around them. And they're mostly blaming their, you know, society, parents, circumstances, etc., etc. So that is not a state we would like to be in. So just becoming calm and at peace is not the only thing. Sometimes it actually helps you to just stay neutral instead of falling into the pit. So irrespective of where you start from, it is surely gonna enhance your state of being.
Through that, and we actually learn to control about like our emotions, and yeah, that very rightly explained and said. Thank you so much, Saini. It was wonderful talking to you, and we learned a lot of new things about yoga and meditation. And guys, definitely go check out her application. You are definitely going to learn a lot of new things about yoga and meditation from that application too. So thank you so much for giving out time for this podcast. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me on this platform, Tarun. And it is a pleasure, completely my pleasure, to be able to share and spread this to as many people as I possibly can.
Glad to hear that. Thank you so much for joining. Well, that's all from today's episode. I hope you liked it. In case if you have any suggestion or feedback, you can reach out to me at various social media handles. I'm adding the link in the description. Until next time, stay safe and stay tuned.